Alleluia, Yeshua, the spirit of adoption, according to the law of God, the royal law, we get the same double portion of Yeshua. Wow. Not that we're going to be some sort of little gods like some of the apostate teachers would teach. No, we are sinners saved by grace, but by the spirit of adoption, we are part of the family of God called Israel. Alleluia. In verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Any spirit can tell you that you're a son of God, a child of God. Pagans have spirits telling them that they're a child of God, and some of the pagans even think that they are gods. There's a lot of New Age demon spirits that tell people that they are gods. There's two articles up on the website, real audio files, in fact, about angels, Angel A and Angel B. And Jesus said it was going to be as it was in the days of Noah. Brethren, we're going to have to contend with demonic manifestations like no people ever. And when Satan and his whole demonic host are cast out of heaven, and then at that fifth seal, when those angels sealed up at the time of the flood, those demons, particularly evil ones, are let loose, we're going to have them coming up from below and down from above. And brethren, we're going to have to walk in the Spirit, in the fullness of His Holy Spirit power. But when the world around us is demon possessed and we're filled with His Spirit, you know who has the upper hand. The victory was made certain and sure 2,000 years ago. But there are a lot of New Age demon spirits that tell people that they belong to God. The truth is that we are all born thinking that we're some sort of a God. But the Spirit itself, the Spirit of adoption, the true Spirit of truth and holiness, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you that you are a child of God. He will tell you that you can call God Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit will tell you that. However, don't be naive or gullible to think that a deceiving or deluding demon spirit would not tell you the same thing. And how do we know the Holy Spirit from other spirits? It makes you feel good. And if it makes you feel good, it's not necessarily the right answer. Watch out. Just because you want to believe it doesn't mean it's true. And it feels good to believe it doesn't make it true. It does not mean it's the Holy Spirit just because it feels good. The way the witness of the Spirit bears witness with our spirit is by empowering you to show your love for God. Yep. Keeping those commandments. That's what it is. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You want the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest himself to you by the Holy Spirit? Keep his commandments. The Holy Spirit affirms them and convicts you when you transgress them. The deceiving spirit will try to get you to rationalize them or excuse them away. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Well, what law are you talking about? Don't do away with those commandments. That's our roadmap. There's nothing wrong with those commandments. It's what real, genuine, true love is all about, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to keep those commandments, to walk in those commandments, to want to do those commandments. And that's how you know. And there is not any other sure way to know. Pay attention, and there's another stop sign in that next verse, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And if, unless, what's the condition? If we are children, not deceived or being deceived, then we are heirs, joint heirs, full firstborn portion by the spirit of adoption, because we did come into the family by the purchased price of the blood of Messiah and by the spirit of adoption. Yeshua is the firstborn, the only begotten. He gets the double portion. And the adopted sons get the double portions too. It's this joint heirship. Wow. If you are a child of God, just don't run those if stop signs, brethren. Make sure that you know that you meet the conditions. Are you a child of God because you believe you're a child of God? The devils believe better than we do. We have got to know it. And how are we going to know it? Are we saved? Once saved, always saved? That's a damnable doctrine which will cause you to throw away the compass that tells you if you're going the right way. It is always conditional, brethren. God is a conditional God. This side of glory, for sure. But it is our faith that's the obedience to the royal law, which is a law of love. That's what real love is about. And it's a law of life and a law of liberty that gives substance and evidence to this blessed hope that we have. Now let's get into it. And if, children, if you're a child of God, then, and only then, are you an heir. If, what's the condition? What is the condition that we must meet? If so be that we suffer with him. Wow. If so be that we suffer with him. Do you want to suffer? No. Have you chosen to suffer? If you do not choose to suffer with him, maybe that spirit that tells you you're a child of God is a deceiving spirit. If that spirit is telling you that God loves you so that you're going to get blessed this side of glory, if that spirit causes you to suppose that you are getting blessed of God and that gain is godliness, that is not the spirit which causes you to choose to suffer. Because it is only if, you see that stop sign, if, what is the condition? If you are going to be a true child of God, then there's a condition. You better not be assuming or presuming you have attained it unless it is true. If so be that we suffer with him. Yes, it's the word of God. If so be that we suffer with him. Do you want to suffer? If you don't want to suffer, maybe you better start planning to suffer. If so be that we suffer with him. And that's the path. That is the way. The way of taking up your cross. The I'm blessed and gain is godliness is another gospel. It's a doctrine of devils. 1 Timothy 6:5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. No suffering, no glory, no cross, then it's another gospel. If you have a doctrine of Messiah that does not have suffering and a cross for you, you're being taught about another Jesus. They're talking about another Yeshua. If there is no suffering, without that willingness to suffer, they're talking about one of the many, many false Christs. If you are a child of God, it is only if you have chosen the path of suffering with him. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is that word reckon all about? Reckon is how one determines their direction on their way. Reckoning means picking your direction, the way you will go. The direction that we must pick is that we are going to suffer with him. If you pick the gain is godliness direction, you've got another Jesus, another gospel, one of the many damnable heresies. Maybe this is not how you normally get Romans 8 taught to you, but I believe we're hearing from the Spirit of Truth. Show me the error. Check it out. For I reckon what path I'm going to take. I'm going to take the path that has the suffering with him. I will check it out, measure it, and determine the way I go. Is that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us if you are a child of God. If you are an heir of God and joint heir with Messiah, it is only if we suffer with him that we may be also glorified with him. That is the path we must take, the way of Messiah. We must look for that path of suffering with him and reckon that the sufferings with him are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're looking for a glory to be revealed in us. We're on the edge of it. It is so exciting to be alive right now, because we're going to see this time of tremendous suffering of the body of Messiah from the forces of Antichrist being given power to wage war on the saints. We're going to see this time of tremendous glory revealed in the midst of it. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We have a great earnest expectation. For the expectation of the creature, that is us, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, we like to believe that we are sons of God. We hope that we are sons of God. Now, our earnest expectation is that in the midst of this great suffering, soon to come upon those who have chosen to suffer with Messiah so that they may be glorified with Him. For those who have determined that the path that they must go is the path of suffering with Him, the only path that they can go to find glory is that path of suffering with Him in this present time, and know that that suffering with Him cannot be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our earnest expectation, we are the people that are going to finally get to see this great earnest manifestation, this earnest expectation manifested. The earnest expectation of every child of God is to see the manifestation that we may know. We're going to be the first with that manifestation of the greater works of John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. We are going to be the people that see the greater works. We're going to see this manifestation of the sons of God in the midst of the great tribulation war of the Antichrist on the saints. I will tell you for sure that if you have not chosen that path of suffering with Him, you will not see this manifestation in you. You can easily be deceived to think that you are a child of God. Who would not want to think that? But does that make it so? Meeting the conditions is what makes it so. Your faith, your obedience, your willingness to suffer with Him makes it so. The people who have chosen the path of obedience and suffering with Him are going to see this manifestation of the sons of God in them just like Yeshua Messiah. And what is this manifestation? Look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Do you know what vanity is? That means you want to be worshipped. And that's what vanity is. It is self. It is self-will. It means you want to be worshipped. Now the creature, every human being, was made subject to vanity, self-consciousness, self-awareness, self-will, wanting people to worship you. Where do you find people to worship you? In your churches? Yep, that's where you find them. Gold star if you knew that. Do you worship your pastor? Does your pastor want you to worship him? Do you want all the church folk to think that you're a good person? That's vanity. Is that the path of suffering? All human creatures were made subject to vanity, not willingly. God did not want to do it, but He had to. And why did God have to make us creatures of vanity? The reason is that He created mankind to replace the worshiping angels who rebelled with Lucifer. What kind of worship would God get from robots? You see, we're not robots. He created us with vanity, a self-awareness, a self-consciousness, a self-will, in hope that from that pit of vanity and self, that pit of vanity and self-will, we would lay aside that self-will and give Him worship that was worth something. Jesus took on flesh. He had a self-consciousness and a self-will. One thing that was different and very unusual about Yeshua is that when people worshipped Him, He received the worship. There was no sin in Him. It was no sin for Him to receive worship. No good angel will receive worship. The demon angels You know what they're looking for? They're looking for worship. And that's why you find demons filling the churches today. If you get one of those demons in you, you can get people in your church to worship you. And that demon will make you feel real good. And that is what it wants. A demon spirit wants to be worshipped. And that's why they fill the churches today. We know from Revelation 12 about the war in heaven when Michael and the faithful angels will cast Lucifer and all his demonic hosts, all that hordes of demons, down to earth. Michael's going to do that. Michael and the faithful angels will cast Lucifer and all his demonic hordes out of God's third heaven down to earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down unto you having great wrath, for he knows that he has just a very short time. Now, where do you think the first place that those demon hordes are going to go? Another gold star, if you said churches. That's where you will find them today. God had to create us subject to vanity in order that he would be able to get worship from man that was worth something. And there's no other way he could restore the true worship in heaven when Lucifer led the worshiping angels in rebellion against God. We must be like Yeshua, who chose to lay down his will, to lay down his flesh, to even have his flesh crucified. We've got to choose that same path of suffering and self-denial and choose to suffer the shame of the cross. And that is God's hope for us, that there would be a few who would really follow the example of Messiah and choose the way of the cross for his glory, that our will would be to do his will, like Messiah did. He subjected us, every one of us, all of us, he subjected us to vanity with this hope that we would choose the way out of that pit of vanity. Because, look at verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look where corruption comes from. It comes from vanity. There would be no corruption in this world if there were no vanity. If people were not seeking their own self-will, if they were not seeking to be worshipped, there would be no corruption in this world. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. The love of money, however, causes all of the evil. Money means power. You can get people to worship you if you have enough money. What's your price to bow down and worship? Everybody has a price, and some are just a little higher than others. The creature shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're going to be delivered from this corruption. This bondage of corruption is vanity, self-will, self-consciousness, wanting people to worship you, wanting people to think you are good. We will be delivered from the bondage of corruption through Messiah, through his spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit helps us mortify or put to death this corruption of vanity and self-will. The Holy Spirit will bring us into the glorious liberty of the true children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We are groaning. This whole creation is groaning because of this vanity, which causes all the corruption. We are travailing in pain together until now. Brethren, grab hold of this. Until now. We are finally coming to this point where the sons of God are going to be manifested. How are they going to be manifested? By overcoming vanity, by laying down their self-will. Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Have you got the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. Genuine love for God and your brothers, your neighbor. You love God by the instructions of those first four of the Ten Commandments. and you love your neighbor according to the instructions of those last six commandments. And making this choice of the path of suffering, the choice of the path to mortify the deeds of the flesh, Yeshua was the first fruit of the Spirit of life. He was resurrected from the dead. Not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do we have it? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We are waiting. We are waiting for the adoption. That adoption will be the redemption of our bodies from the pits of vanity and self-will. Look at verse 24. For we are saved by hope. Yes, we're saved by hope. Look, verse 24. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Do you understand that you are saved by hope? That's the word of God, brethren. We're saved by hope. I hope I'm saved. I hope you're saved. Do you know you're saved? You're not going to know until your body is redeemed. And that's why once saved, always saved is a damnable doctrine of devils. Because you are saved by hope. You better hope you're saved. Because you are saved by hope. You don't know you are saved if you are walking around in a living body of corruptible flesh. If somebody has taught you to know you're saved, they've taught you how to believe a liar. The Word of God says that you are saved by hope. You hope you are saved. For hope that is seen is not hope. If you see that you are saved, and you see that you cannot fall, you're deceived. You have bought that doctrine of devils because you are saved by hope. Are you saved? I hope I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I have a way of knowing. I have a way of knowing. Does that mean I cannot fall? No. Does it mean that I cannot lose it? No. I am just hoping. I am saved by hope. I have a blessed hope. Amen? I have a blessed hope. I am saved by my blessed hope. Yes, I have a blessed hope. A blessed hope of this manifestation, but I am going to see it while this body of corruptible flesh is still alive. Yes, I am hoping that I will. I believe that we are all part of this God-forsaken generation, that a few are going to see it manifest. I am hoping for it. And you better be hoping for it. If you think you've got it, you've been deceived. Keep hoping for it. It is a blessed hope. For hope that is seen is not hope. If you see it, you're not hoping. We're saved by hope. There is no other way. For what a man sees, he does not hope for it anymore. If you don't hope you're saved, you've been deceived. Look at verse 25. For if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. If, you see it? If we hope. Again, that stop sign. What's the condition? If we hope. But I would rather know. I've been told I could know. Yes. Yes. In the Word of God, there's a place where I've been told that I could know. I know I can. Yes. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There it is. I believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. I don't believe on my righteousness. I know there's no other way that I can be saved, so I may know that I have eternal life. We seem to skip those little key important words like if sometimes, don't we? I may know. I may know means might know. It is conditional. But John has written the conditions. May means might, possibly. There's an opportunity, a contingency, or the conditions. And what John has written gives you the conditions that you may know if we are in the way of eternal life. Even this most absolute, I know that I am saved, verse says, eternal life. Even this most absolute, I know that I'm saved, versus says that I may, might, possibly know the conditions of the way. So what has John written that we may know? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We may know the effects of saving knowledge in producing obedience and love to the brethren. On in verse 3, 1 John 2, 3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. It always comes back to keeping that eternal covenant, that royal law, those Ten Commandments. There's only one way to sort it all out. I don't believe on anything but by the power of the blood of Yeshua to save me. And I don't depend on the authority of any name but the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. I believe I'm saved by the blood of Yeshua. But I am saved by hope. I hope I'm saved. What does that mean? How do I sort it out? It always comes back to the same thing. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we know him, and hereby know we that we are in him. That's 1 John 2, 3 through 5. We have only one way to know. If we have only one way to know if we are in him. If we keep his commandments. His will, not my will. I can know. We can know. We are in the way. But we don't know we have arrived till we get there. Did you catch that? We can know we are in the way. But we don't know we have arrived till we get there. Yet this generation, in the midst of the great tribulation, may see the manifestation of the sons of God that no other generation ever did see. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about walking in the obedience and power that Yeshua himself walked in by totally laying down our vanity, self-will, and becoming obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. We can know that we are in the way if we have not thrown away our map, the royal law, the everlasting covenant, his Ten Commandments. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you don't think you need that law, if you think the New Testament does not have the law in it, you have another Jesus. Because the only way you can know, and you want to know, is if you keep his commandments. What are his commandments? He said, totally love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He summarized the 10 down to 2, because the first 4 teach us how to love God, and the other 6 teach us how to love our neighbor. So he gave us a summary. But the royal law is the everlasting covenant. And if your brand of new covenant has eliminated the everlasting covenant, you have a false and deceiving new covenant. Under the true new covenant, we have a better covenant. Not because it eliminated the everlasting covenant. Rather, because the new covenant also has the Spirit of Truth. The new covenant, Spirit of Holiness, gives us the power to do it the way Yeshua did. We can fulfill the law. We can keep the law. We can mortify the deeds of the flesh. We can lay down our self-will for His better and perfect will, and for His glory. Any true covenant, old covenant or new covenant, if it's a true covenant, must have the everlasting covenant, the royal law. Now let's take a quick look at those commandments. The commandments and the empowerment by the Spirit of Truth and Holiness, keeping those commandments, lets us know that we are in the way to the realization of our blessed hope. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The commandments are the seal and the witness. The commandments are the seal. What's a seal? It's a legal term. A legal document has a seal on it. And that seal will tell you the name of the lawgiver, the authority of the lawgiver, and the territory or jurisdiction of the lawgiver. Looking at the Ten Commandments, and we find the name of the lawgiver in five of them. There's only one of those Ten Commandments that has the name of the lawgiver, the authority of the lawgiver, and the jurisdiction of the lawgiver. You can find those Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5. Looking at that law very carefully, we find only one place in that law with the seal, giving His name, His authority, and His jurisdiction. We find the seal of God is found in the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy manservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is not the day of the Pope says is the Sabbath. The Sabbath day is the true Sabbath day. It is the true Sabbath day because God said it was the Sabbath. That's what makes it the Sabbath. The Pope paganized the Sabbath, and the Protestants have generally followed the Pope's tradition that makes the Word of God of none effect ever since about 326 AD. The Sabbath day means the seventh day. The Sabbath day is the day that God says is the Sabbath. Look at your calendar and see the first day on the extreme left and the Sabbath day on the extreme right. The seventh day, the true Sabbath of the Lord. Will you honor and obey the Pope, or will you honor and obey God? Will you continue in the traditions of men which make the Word of God of none effect? The commandment's not a little deal. It's the only commandment which has the seal of God contained in it, including His name, His authority, and His jurisdiction. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. There's His name. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Here we see His name again, His authority as maker of heaven and earth, and His jurisdiction over heaven and earth that He made. He made it. He owns it. He has authority and jurisdiction over it. And that is why He is the lawgiver. It is His royal law, His everlasting covenant. Do you want to violate that law and tell me you're saved and expect me to say amen? I would have to say that the soul that sins or transgresses the law will die. And since you violate the fourth commandment, there is more reason for me to believe that you are deceived than that you are saved. You testify to the whole world every week that you do not regard and transgress the royal law every week. I don't think saved people would have that kind of testimony. They say once saved, always saved, and I say we are saved by hope, and the only way to know that we are in the way that leads to eternal life is to keep His commandments. The day we worship and keep holy is our seal, our witness, and testimony to the whole world who our God is. Is He the creator of heaven and earth? The Pope? Lucifer? The sun god or the moon god? What's your testimony? What's your witness? What's your seal? Who is your God? I don't recommend the Pope's perversion of the royal law, where he changed God's fourth commandment and eliminated the second commandment and repeated the tenth commandment to still keep ten while eliminating number two. You say, I don't follow the Pope. Really? Ever go to a church on Deus Solis, the sun god day, Sunday? What about Christmas and Easter? Learn not the way of the heathen. Muslims worship the moon god Allah on Friday. That's their sign, their seal, their witness to the world who their God is. Pagans and paganized Christians worship on the sun god day, Sunday. That's their sign, their witness, that they do not obey the creator of heaven and earth. The children of God remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The children of God witness that they obey their God by remembering to keep holy the day that God said to keep holy. They make no excuses or apologies or rationalizations to follow the Pope and paganized Christians. They allow no man to judge them regarding their obedience to his fourth command. They obey the command of God regardless of if every other man on earth follows the tradition of the Pope that makes the Word of God of none effect. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The children of God are coming out of their ignorance and remembering to keep holy the Sabbath day. Look at verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We hope for that we do not yet see. The sons of God have not yet been manifest, but that's coming. And there's good reason to believe that it will be soon, if you're walking that path of suffering, if you're keeping those commandments, including the fourth one, then you are waiting for the manifestation with patience. The Spirit of truth, not the deceiving spirit, not the lying spirit, but the Spirit of truth and holiness also helps our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought to pray, but it is the Spirit Himself making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Look at verse 27. And He that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He, that Spirit that searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you think it's the will of God to do away with or change or rationalize or excuse or go against God's royal law, that's a deceiving spirit. The Holy Spirit will always affirm and confirm the will and the word and the royal law of God. The spirit which would nullify or modify or rationalize or change or eliminate the law of God is not the Spirit of God. It's so simple the children understand it. Look at verse 28, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He says, worship or keep holy the Sabbath day. I don't want to worship on Sabbath. I want to go to my church and they worship on Sunday. Nobody does that. There's not any church in town that does that. The Pope says it's okay. My pastor says that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath because Jesus rose on Sunday. No, He did not. When Mary got there before daylight on Sunday, the tomb was empty. He was not in that tomb anymore. We know that all things work together, even our sufferings, for good to them that love God. How do you know if you love God? There's only one way. You keep His commandments. Yeshua says, if If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the only way you know. If you have thrown out those commandments, you have thrown away everything. You have thrown away the royal law, the eternal covenant for your brand of new covenant, your will, your truth, your purposes. If your new covenant does not have the eternal covenant, you need to be in a big hurry to find a true new covenant. All these great promises of God are for those who are the called according to His purpose. Not my purpose, not your purpose, not the Pope's purpose, not the church's purpose, His purpose. Now look at Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at all the gospel accounts. Where did you find His Son on the Sabbath? What was the custom of Yeshua? He was always to be found at the synagogue on the Sabbath. He did almost all His miracles of healing on the Sabbath. Those healings on the Sabbath were one of the reasons the religious authorities wanted to crucify Him. The religious authorities would have had no problem if He had done His miracles on the day that the Pope says. He did it on Sabbath. He knew the royal law. He was, is, and always will be the giver of the royal law. Hallelujah, Yeshua. It is never wrong to do good on the Sabbath. The religious authorities always seem to have a problem with the Sabbath. Even in these last days, the people with religious spirits want to do it according to the religious authority of the Pope. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Folks, we are adopted. That means we get the double portion, just like Yeshua. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Now look at Romans 8:30 and 31. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah, Yeshua. If God be for you, you can stand against the Pope. If God be for you, you can stand alone. If God is for you, you can do it His way, even if everybody else goes according to the religious authorities. You want to kill me? You want my parts? Hallelujah! If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeshua said in Luke 12:4 and 5, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I encourage you strongly as I can to study the Fear of God article on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website. The fear of God is a never-ending study. The fear of God may not only be the beginning of wisdom, it may be almost the whole ball of wax. With the proper and right fear of God, we can overcome and do away with all of the fears associated with the Great Tribulation. Look at verse 32. And He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He did not spare His own Son. His Son was not exempt from suffering. He delivered Him up for us all to the suffering of death on the cross. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things, brethren, all things. He is going to give us all things if we are faithful. Choosing that same path of suffering, even the cross, if we walk in that royal law, if we walk in the Spirit, fulfilling the law, keeping the law the way Yeshua did. Keeping God's laws is not legalism. I'm going to say it again. Keeping God's laws is not legalism. It's obedience. Keeping man's laws is and traditions, that's legalism. May I say, if you keep Lucifer's Sabbath, his false prophet, the Pope's Sabbath, the sun god's Sunday Sabbath, that it is not likely you will be one of those sons of God to be manifested in the Great Tribulation. Those manifested sons of God will get the seal of God. Study the seal of God. Here's just a few interesting things you're going to find. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. John 3:33. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Revelation 7, 2 and 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Revelation 9, 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. The fourth commandment contains the seal of God. It's not a little deal. It's a big deal now in these last days of strong delusion. Those who do not have a deceiving spirit or a religious spirit know that it is always a big deal to do things the way God said, no matter who or what tradition would say otherwise. We are saved by hope. I hope I'm saved, and I hope you are saved. There is a way that we can know along the way. You just cannot find the way if you've thrown away the eternal covenant with the particular brand of new covenant that you have embraced. The immutable, unchanging law of God is simply to be obeyed to demonstrate your love and faith to God. The Bible says we are saved by hope. We don't arrive this side of glory unless we might be visited by that angel with the seal of God, and that we might be one of those manifested sons of God in the Great Tribulation. The way is the way of holiness. Obedience, which is the proof of genuine faith and love. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who would be crazy enough to do that? It is God that justifies. Only a fool would think he could win an argument with God. And Romans 8, 34, 35, 36, 37, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. The only thing not in that list, if you look at that list of those things, none of which can separate us from the love of God, there's only one thing that's not in that list if you look at for what's not there. It's self-will. That's the only thing not in that list of things that cannot separate us from the love of God. self-willing in that list, brethren. Now let's take a quick look at some of the favorite verses of the lawless ones captivated by modern Laodicean churchianity. A couple of the dandies that they like is Galatians 3:23 and Galatians 5:18. And I would encourage you to study the Acts context of the epistles. The Acts context is important not only for Galatians, but all the epistles, because it was written after them. Acts is much more than an exciting history of the first century church. It gives the context of all the epistles. And things taken out of context can become pretext. So let's look at Galatians 3:25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. If you have faith, you have graduated. If you have faith, you know the law because you know the lawgiver. If you have faith, you have the law written on your heart. If you have faith, you know the only way you have to respond to the love of God is to keep His commandments. If you have faith, the law which was carnal becomes spiritual. If you have faith, that same law which used to limit your freedom becomes the source of your freedom. If you have faith, the only way you know that you know Him who has given you faith is to keep His commandments. I have faith. Do you have faith? In Galatians 5:18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, the law no longer burdens you. It's a delight. If you're led by the Spirit, you delight in the law and know that God's law is perfect and does not change. If you're led by the Spirit, you know the only way that you have to prove your love to God is to keep His commandments. If you're led by the Spirit, His commandments are not something you have to do, but something that you get to do. If you're led by the Spirit, you know that you are blessed to walk in the law of the Lord. If you're led by the Spirit, you do no iniquity because you walk in His ways. If you're led by the Spirit, you respect all His commandments. If you're led by the Spirit, you do not wander from His commandments. If you're led by the Spirit, you meditate on His precepts. If you're led by the Spirit, His law becomes your delight and your direction. If you're led by the Spirit, you keep His statutes. I'm led by the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? I want to bless you and strengthen your hands if you want to grow in faith through obedience to the Word of God. If you want me to join you or confirm the errors of churchianity today, I cannot. I don't play church. I'm an elder at large in the church of Yeshua Messiah that grows in faith through obedience to the Word of God. I go where I'm sent and received. I do not preach Roman or pagan churchianity doctrine. I preach the Word of God. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.